just the same as last. Okay. We can finish off there. Or maybe, Ethan, do you have an extra one? Or you have one?
I don't know where to go. I had one before. Where did that one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We'll just summarize where we were. It's been a few days. Okay, so we were discussing what the definition of Melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa is, right? And we had seen up until this point, so we had seen two and a half definitions. But again, Melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa generally is, if you saw the paradigm case in the Gemara and Chagiga, is right, if Chofer Guma, Ve'en Tzarech HaLa'la Afar, you can dig a hole and you only need the dirt of the hole. As opposed to the hole itself, right? And the possibility is that the digging the hole, the creation of the hole, is either the melacha of Bona or the melacha of Choresh, right? Either building or plowing. The question is, right, why is melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa pater, according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Rather, why does Rabbi Shimon hold that melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa is not chayv min d'oraisa, it's not a melacha? So the Gemara Chagiga had said, you know, you see the din of melachas machshavas from this. Right, that presumably that this is a lack of Melachas Machshavas. So the Rishonim discuss more specifically what is Melachas Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa, and it's important for us to know, you know, going through the Melachos, to know that there is this tour and to identify when it should apply. So we saw first the Ri in the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Sadi Amar Av. So the Ri has the most probably the most famous opinion about what the definition is, right? Because the Ri said that a melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa is when you do a melacha and you're not doing it for the purpose that the melacha, this specific melacha was done in the Mishkan. And you have to go melacha by melacha to determine why did they do this melacha in the Mishkan, and then to see if your intention in doing this action lines up with the intention in the Mishkan. And that's in fact what the Ri does. We only saw a few examples, but he goes case by case of the cases that we know in the Gemara are treated, or he thinks are treated, as melacha Shein Yetzirah L'Gufa. And he says, well, in the Mishkan, the melacha was done for X, and in that case, you're doing it for Y. So that's the Ri, very simple. You know, you have to look at what the melacha was done in the Mishkan and see if your action lines up to that. The Ri in Chagiga had a slightly different formulation, right? And he said, just like in the Mishkan, when they did melachos, they did it for what he called the Ikar Shoresh HaMelacha, the main purpose of the melacha. So too, when you do the melacha, you're only chayv if you do it for the main purpose. That just creates the possibility, according to the Ri and the Chagiga, that on a case-by-case basis, you don't have to see if the melacha is like it was done in the Mishkan. You just have to determine, and we don't know what that is, and as we saw based on the Urayim, it could be just Chazal tell us what that is. Right? What is the Ikar Shoresh HaMelacha? And all these melachos, what is like the main, like the main formulation of that malacha, and then to see if you did it for that or not. But that might not be what the Mishkan, what was, why the malacha was done in the Mishkan or not. And that's important because, as Rish struggles with, there are some cases that it's hard to say, either to know what was exactly done in the Mishkan, or maybe there are cases where it seems like it's chayav, even though it's done not necessarily for the reason that it was done in the Mishkan, so it's important to have a variation of a formulation.
Do you think that he lined up with this? We saw the source of Lantos Melachos, like is that because he doesn't line up with that thought process that comes from?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I couldn't.
Because anything that comes from Mishkan, would you be forced into saying that it has to be based upon Mishkan?
No, I don't think so, because I think the Ri in Chagiga has the formulation that it's based on Mishkan, right? But still says that it's not on a case by case basis, because I think the question is really just, look, we know that there is this connection to Mishkan, there is this Michlas and Parshios, and I think they're struggling with how far do you take that. So some Rishonim will take it all the way and say that every particular melacha looked at what they did in the Mishkan, and that's what you have to do, and some won't take it all the way, they'll take it one step or two steps. So yeah, maybe he's struggling with how far you should take it, but there is this Michlas and Parshios, and you know, in some way or another, people have to reckon with that. The last thing that we talked about was the Baal Mor. So essentially, we could boil down the Baal Mor's definition is you have to determine when you're doing a malacha, you have to determine what the chifetz, the chepta of the malacha is. What's the object of the malacha? Also, again, hard to know in abstract. You have to really analyze in each malacha to determine what the chifetz is. And if you're doing the melacha for that chifetz, so then that's a melacha hatzricha legufa. If you're doing the melacha not for that chifetz, so that's a melacha shenitzricha legufa. So that works really well as an explanation for the case of chofer guma, digging a hole, because we'll say, let's say the melacha is bone, let's say, or choresh. So you first have to say, when you do those melachos, the chifetz of the melacha, the object of the melacha is the hole. That's just the case. That's just the way the things are. That's what the object of the melacha is. And therefore, if you're doing the action and you don't want the object that you create, that's not a melacha shein asricha legufa. And you know that he says this because the main thing that came out of the Ba'amor were his exception to the rule. Right? His exception to the rule were the cases of Zore and Borer, right? So winnowing and sorting. So he thought in those cases they're really an exception to the rule because really what the object of the melacha in his eyes, and you could argue, but the object of the melacha in his eyes is what you're taking out, right? In those cases you're removing something that you don't want, either the peel of the wheat kernel or the rock, and you're taking those out. And even though that's the object of the melacha, you don't really want it. Nevertheless, because we learn from Mishkan, so those are melacha tzricha legufa. They're melacha tzricha legufa, the regular melachos. So you see from that exception that the rule is, generally, you're supposed to want the chavetz of the melacha. So that's the Ba'amor. Now, so the last opinion that we're going to discuss, the next opinion we're going to discuss is the Ramban. So look at the source sheet. Perfect timing. So we just recap. So we're going to start with the two Rambans in different places, but they really just go together. Just there's different melachos that, there's different parts of the Gemara Shabbos is very hard to learn because it's not organized at all. So it's like, oh, we'll talk about this melacha now, we'll talk about that melacha. Like, it's just all over the place. So to try to distill principles is hard. So you have to look at lots of different Gemaras at once. So we're going to look at the Ramban, and first one's after Tzadi Dalid, because Tzadi Dalid, because of that Mishnah of Amotzi Asamis, so that's like the main source. Main discussion of melacha shein asricha legufa, and that's why most Rishonim talk here. So read the Ramban inside. So the Ramban says, this is the second to last source on the sheet. So Ramban, so perish melacha shein asricha legufa kigon motzi asamis afilu lekavro she'im lo hanah behotze aso v'lo bikvurasto. So what's the definition of melacha shein asricha legufa? If it's motzi asamis, like the Mishnah, right? Because the Mishnah says Rishonim poter. So like the Mishnah says, if you take out a mace from the house, even if you're taking the mace to bury the mace, that's still a melacha she'in asricha legufa, she'in lo hana'a behotza aso, because you have no benefit in the actual carrying. Below bikvurasa, you don't really have any benefit in burying the mace. Aval ha'ana'a hi hatuma shehumonea mimenu. The hana'a that you are getting from this ordeal is just that you are removing the tuma from your house. But you're not actually getting hana'a from the malacha itself, the malacha being hotza. You're not getting direct hana'a from the malacha. V'chein seidas nachash, k'dei shelo yishchenu. Also the case of, I think we may have mentioned, right, if you trap a snake so that it won't bite you. Now the din of trapping a snake so that it won't bite you is actually, according to Shmuel, hopefully we'll get to, it's actually it's mutter, legamre. It's not even asur midi rabbanan. But it's like that analysis is two steps. You first have to determine why it's not a melacha midi oraisa, and why it's only aser midi rabbanan, i.e., why is it a melacha sheni tzricha legufa? And then, when you can think about it even further, why the rabbanan were matir at legamre. So you first have to understand why is seidas nachash a melacha sheni tzricha legufa. So there too, when you trap a snake so that it won't bite you, that's a melacha sheni tzricha legufa sheina ela minias hezek, because all you're doing is preventing damage to you. There is no benefit or need in the guf of the malacha, in the form of the malacha, in what we would call the action of the malacha. It's hard to translate. You can't really translate literally each word because he's just essentially paraphrasing and reusing the words in the Gemara. So you have to read all the cases together and his explanation of each one, and then you can kind of string together what his theory is. V'chein kibui psila, habsila, v'hagechalim, lo'olam lacha shenetzich lagufa, chutz mipsila shalohuvhava, shehu tzarech la'avika, ulechabosa. So too, when you extinguish a wick, or if you extinguish coals, so that is always a melacha shenei tzricha l'gufa, except in the case of extinguishing a wick that was never lit before, like we talked about last week, right? That's better. That is constructive because you want to actually extinguish the wick so that now the next thing you want to light the wick, it's easier to light because it's been lit once. So in that case, that would be an actual real melacha. Ulechabosa, v'akibuhu tikun ba'atzmo. Right, so you want to actually light it again and to extinguish it in this case. So in that case, the kibui is actually a tikkun, is actually something that benefits him. So you're actually benefiting from the actual kibui from the malacha. So too, the other case where kibui is a malacha midaraisa is if you extinguish coals to create the coals. So, you know, because you want the heat of the coals. So there too, you are benefiting from the actual malacha of kibui, and that's why it's a malacha. Aba atofer b'yiriyah shenafa ba darna. But the case of, if you sew a curtain that got a hole because of a worm. So that, there the din is that it's chayv midaraisa. So af al pi shebirtzona lo haisa nofeles sham darna v'liyavo le'ola midei osa malacha kemba and shenafla sham mikol makom. So what he's getting at is something that hopefully we'll get to tonight, is Rashi's opinion. So Rashi has a very interesting formulation in the Sugi on Savi Gimel. And he says, and we'll try to make sense of it, and at least in the case of Hotza, he says, the reason that it's a Malacha Shnei Tzricha L'Gufa, essentially, is because you wish this never happened to you in the first place. You wish that you didn't have to be in this situation. So therefore, because that's your state of being in doing this malacha, at least in the case of Hotza, that's why you're not chayav. So there's questions that Tosos brings down Rashi from different cases. One of the questions that Tosos brings down Rashi is this case of Tofer b'yiriyah shenafa ba'darna. Because the din in that case is that it's a malacha. It's the malacha of Tofer. Kasha and Rashi is, well, can't you just make the argument, oh, I wish that I didn't get a hole in my curtain in the first place, and I really, you know, wish I didn't have to sew in the first place. Can't you just make that argument? Clearly the Gemara doesn't make that argument. So he's saying, Rabban is pointing that also. We don't make that argument. Right? Even though you would like to say, you know, I wish this never happened to me, I wish there was no hole, there was no worm that created a hole. Nevertheless, that's still considered a malacha, because now that there is a hole, you're getting hana'ah from the malacha of tofer, of sewing. Now we're just going to continue further in the Rabban. Here, that's the Ramban on Kovav. So, the Gemara on Kovav.
Does the Ramban here at least like add anything that we put a different take on?
Yeah, so, and we'll see how it applies in this next Ramban. So, let's just read it and then we'll summarize how he's different. So, Demila, so there's another question. So, there's a machlokes actually also between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara on Daf Kovav about kilkul. So there are some actions that you do that are entirely what we would call destructive. So the din is a machlokes like this. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that all kilkul in every form is always pater. By every single malacha, if you do it in a quote-unquote destructive way, it's always pater. Rabbi Shimon holds, I think Gemara learns how he knows it's Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon holds that all kilkul is pater except for two malachas. If you do a kilkul by Mavir or Chovel Mavir, so either the malacha of injuring, which is really a tolda of killing, Rav Shochit, Tzias Hashama. So if you do Chovel or if you do Mavir, if you light a fire, so those two in theory are somewhat destructive, right? Killing is injuring is destructive. Lighting a fire is destructive because you are destroying whatever fuel you are using to light the fire. So in those two cases, based on psukim, Rabbi Shimon says you're chayev. Even though they're destructive, there are special psukim that learn out, special cases that learn out to teach us that those two malachos are chayev nonetheless. One of those is mila. Right? So there's a special lima that teaches you that you ought to do mila on Shabbos. So if the idea is like this. If a Torah needs to tell me that it's mutter to do a bris mila on Shabbos, it must be that otherwise it would have been usher. So why would it have been Aser? It would have been Aser because of Chovel. You're injuring. I isn't Chovel. Shouldn't that be Pater automatically because it's Kilkul? So Rishima says, no. You see from here, the fact that the Torah had to teach you that Bris Milah is Mutar on Shabbos teaches you that otherwise it would have been a Malacha. Chovel would have been Aser, even though it's done in a quote-unquote destructive way, it's always Aser. So the question is, another question is, why isn't Milah... What, forget about Chovel. Why isn't Milah Pater because it's a Malacha Shein Aser Chalagufa? Right? So the question is, what's the chifetz, or what's the hana, like, what's your goal here? What are you trying to accomplish? So the Ramban says like this, Dimila vale malacha tzricha legufa hi shu tzarech sheyehe adam zemahu. Mila is a malacha tzricha legufa. Right? It would otherwise be usher, if not for this pasuk, because what you want to accomplish is that this child, this boy, should be mahu, or this person, at what age? Right? And so on the two parshiyos ago, it could apply at any age. So your goal is that this person should be mahu. He should have a bris mila. Uma dome lezeh hanotel tziporna bekli v'chein sifamo. I think it's sifamo. I think it's a sin. So right, it's like the case of if you cut your nails with a kli, or if you trim your mustache with a kli. Shuchayev Mishum told of the Gozes. In those cases, the Ramban holds against Tosavos. The Ramban holds that you would be Chayev Mida Oraisa as a Tolda of Gozes. Gozes is what they did. They sheared sheep in the Beis HaMikdash to get the wool. So if you cut your nails with a kli, or you trim your mustache with a kli, so then you're Chayev Mishum a Tolda of Gozes. V'afo b'she'in otzarech l'gufa p'tzipornayim v'haseyar m'lacha tzricha l'gufa nikres. Even though you don't need the fingernails that you're cutting off, or the hair that comes off, nevertheless, it's considered a malacha tzricha legufa. V'chein ha-zore v'ha-borer. So here's also difference already than from what we saw. So to zore and borer, right, those are considered a malacha tzricha legufa. Why? Because the Ramban's principle is if you are getting hana'a from the malacha, the action that you're doing, so then that's considered, again, not action, it's really from the malacha. You just have to define what the malacha is. But if you're getting hana from the malacha, so you're chayev. So whereas the Ba'amor said that Zora and Borea are really exceptions to his rule because really you don't want the chayfetz of the malacha, and normally you need to want the chayfetz of the malacha, the Ramban doesn't see Zora and Borea as any exception to a rule. If anything, he says it's a raya for him, it's part of his principle that if you're getting hana, if you're benefiting from the malacha, so then you're chayev. So too by gozes, by cutting your nails. It's not about determining what the chayfetz of the malacha is and if do I want that. Because maybe you would come out, according to the Ba'amor, that by gozes, by cutting your nails, maybe he would hold that it's a malacha shein esrich l'gufa, because maybe we would say, generally, the chayfetz of the malacha of gozes is what you're taking off. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, at least, right, the chayfetz of the malacha was the wool. So maybe by cutting your nails, you don't want the nails. You don't want the chayfetz of malacha. Maybe the Ba'amor would hold that's a malacha shein esrich l'gufa. But the Ramban says it doesn't matter. It's not about what the chayfetz is versus what the chayfetz is not. It's, are you getting hana from the malacha? So by cutting your nails, you are getting hana from the malacha because, you know, you want to accomplish something you want to beautify. I mean, we'll see his language in two sentences, but you're getting hana from it. Zora and Bora, you're getting hana from the sorting, from the separating that you're doing, because that's part of the process of making bread. The imtomar v'harei afalpi kein malacha she'en zarech legufa hi dumia dechofer guma ve'en zarech ala afra. Okay, maybe you'll say, no, it really is a malacha she'en zarech legufa, because maybe we should really think of it more like the case of digging a hole for the dirt. Lo tite v'zeh. Don't make a mistake. She'achabala bekan hi hadam. So again, reference to Beis Mila, the chabala here is the dam. Right, you extracting blood. Hadam atzmo shu tzarichlo. You need the dam. Ukvar damisi zel gozes v'notel saro v'tziparnov. Bein l'takin gufa uviapos atzmo. Bein l'tzorach aser v'agiza kulo an malacha tzricha l'gufa hi. Bimnei she'akol davar echad. V'anatil hi atzma malacha. He says, don't think that it's a malacha. He would say, meaning, maybe if you say mila is a malacha shenet tzricha l'gufa, more like chover guma, it's really not. Because essentially, you're getting hana from the malacha. The malacha is the chabala, is the dam that's, you know, you injured somebody enough that blood will come out, and you get hana from that. because, you know, part of doing a bris milah is you need to do hatavazah. So you are getting hana from the entire malacha that you're doing. And therefore it's more like gozes and cutting your nails or trimming your hair, where it doesn't necessarily, you want to focus on which chifetz you want or not. Are you just getting hana from what you're doing? So by cutting your nails, you're trying to, you know, beautify yourself, make yourself look nicer, and you're getting hana from doing that. So do bris milah, he says, it would be a malacha tzrich legufa because you're getting hana from the Kabbalah.
So how does Ramban understand the chofer guma? Meaning, aren't you getting hana from the dirt?
Right, so you have to, the tricky part with Ramban is that his definition is you have to get hana from the malacha. So, you know, like, again, like, by each rishon, you know, so all the action is in one aspect of their definition. So, like, with the Ri, all the action is determining what's the purpose of the Mishkan. With the Ba'amor, all the action is determining what's the chifetz of the Malacha. With the Ramban, all the action is determining what's the Malacha. Mm-hmm. How do you define what's inside the box we will call the Malacha and what's outside?
That's the whole, like, since you're not getting enough in the whole.
Right. So, the Malacha is Boneh or Choresh. So you're not getting hana from Boneh or Choresh. That's how you would view it. Right? So, by
you're getting hana, you are getting hana.
Right.
So
you're not getting hana from the Malacha. Right. Right. It's hard. Right? It's a hard definition to pin down and to create a theory that will answer every case, that every case ends up on the right side of that definition. But that's his definition. And now you can see why there already we've seen four definitions, because each of these cases is so similar to the other one. Like, how do you get to the right, you know, answer on all of these? But that's his definition. So, right, and then, the last question is, Masha Inkin b'chofer guma sh'abinu mekarka hu v'hua nikra melacha, right? So, by chofer guma, the binyan mekarka, that's the melacha, and you're not getting hana from the binyan mekarka, you're just getting hana from the dirt. Okay, so that's Ramban. So, I think the best way to tie together these opinions is to just, you know, say out further, I think the best nafkamina, you know, the one that people talk about the most, is actually cutting your nails on Shabbos. So again, the question is cutting your nails on Shabbos a melacha, she'ino tzricha legufa or tzricha legufa? So that, in fact, is actually a machlokas rishonim between Tosfos and the Ramban, and others. So according to Tosfos, and this Tosfos is actually... he doesn't say it explicitly. I mean, he says explicitly that according to Rabbi Shimon, cutting your nails is a malacha shenei tzrich legufa. He doesn't say it for this reason, but presumably this is why he would hold this way. So Tosfos says that if you, based on the discussion of the Gemara, and if you want to go further, it's actually Sadi Da'at on the Biz. It's really not really far from where we are. So Remember, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah on Sadi Da'at Amiz. There's a machlokes about Hanotot Tziparnav Zubizu or Bishinov. So if you cut, or like, not with a kli, but if you somehow like rip off your nails or bite them, or your hair, or your mustache, or your beard. So Rabbi Ezra, all these cases, Rabbi Ezra, Mechayev, Chacham, Osrim. So the other says Chayev midiraisa, and the Chacham says it's just asr midirabanan. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Elazar machlokas biyada v'abakui Chayev. Actually, the Bach adds divrei hakol Chayev. So Rav Elazar says, Rav Elazar the Amora says that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer the Tana and the Chachamim about cutting your nails is only about using your hand. But if you use the kli, if you use the nail clipper or scissors, so everybody holds your Chayev. So if you look at Tosfos of Abba Kli, Divrei HaKol Chayev, it's just a little bit further up. So Tosfos says, Haino Kareb Yehuda. When the Gemara says that everybody would hold that cutting your nails with a Kli is Chayev, that's only according to our Rabbi Yehuda, the Mechayev B'Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're Chayev from Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. Right, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Pater, so he would hold that if you cut your nails with a kli, it's pater. And presumably the reason is because in the Mishkan, again, what's the potential malacha we're talking about? Gozes. So gozes in the Mishkan, so they sheared sheep for the wool. So the malacha of gozes is that you want what you're taking out. what you're taking off. So when you cut your nails, you don't want the nails. So therefore, it's a malacha shenitzricha l'gufa. That's the explanation of Tosas. The Ramban, as we just saw, says that it's a malacha shenitzricha l'gufa because his definition is, are you getting hanah from the malacha? Yes, I'm getting hanah from the malacha. The malacha is cutting, and I'm getting hanah from that because I'm making myself look nicer. So you get hanah from the malacha.
How do you position the Baal Mor?
So I would think that the Baal Mor would hold that it's putter because I think that the chifetz of the malacha is... Again, I think we discussed this, right? You could argue either the chefetz of the malacha is, we can argue three ways. You could say the chefetz of the malacha is what you take off, and then if that's the case, so then he would hold your pater, because you don't want what you're taking off. Or you could say the chefetz of the malacha is your fingers, and you want your fingers, like you want them, right? And then therefore you'd be chayef, or maybe he holds the chefetz of the malacha is both. In other words, it depends on the situation, it could be both, right? Because you could do... It happens to be one of those cases where there are two chafatzim, so maybe you could be chayiv in all cases almost. Sometimes you'll be chayiv when you want what you're taking off, and sometimes you'll be chayiv when you don't want what you're taking off. Chayiv both times. I don't know. But it's an analysis that you need to think about. So there's another opinion, just to show you how, in the Rishonim, how it goes, is the Rivash. The Rivash has a tshuva and says that you actually are chayiv for cutting your nails with a kli, but he says, not like the Ramban, he says more in the school of thought of Tosfos. He says, because in the Mishkan, so the reason that they did gozes was not for the wool, but it's they did gozes to make the skins that they used to cover the Mishkan. And so to make the skins, they had to take out the hair from the animal first. So they did gozes to take out the hair, but they didn't want the hair in that case. They wanted the skins. So he's like Tosfos that he looks to what they did in the Mishkan to determine if it's a malacha tzricha l'gufa or not. But he just comes out on the other side because he says in the Mishkan, they wanted not the hair that they were taking off, they wanted the skins that they were keeping, as opposed to Tosfos, who presumably says they want the wool that they're taking off and not the sheep. So it's actually, so the Shulchan Aruch says that if you cut your hair or your fingernails, you're chayiv. So the Nosei Kelim ask, right, but again, we generally pass them like Tosfos, A, that Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater, and most of the Nosei Kelim assume we pass them like Tosfos in the reading, the approach that you have to look to the Mishkan to determine what the purpose of a Malacha is, and that will impact Halacha L'Maisa. So presumably according to Tosfos, like we just said, it should be Mutter. So the Gura says, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Rambam, who paskens like Rabbi Yehuda, I mentioned it before, but we didn't see it inside. The Rambam passes like Rabbi Huda by Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. The Rambam holds Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is always Chayev. So the Gra says, you see from the Shulchan Aruch, who holds that cutting your nails is Aser, is Chayev, he must hold like the Rambam, the Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayev. The problem is, right, is that there is another Shulchan Aruch that doesn't hold like the Rambam by Tzeda, because the din by Tzeda is that if you trap an animal... So, there are two types. So if you trap an animal, there are two types of animals you can trap. You can trap an animal that normally is a type of animal that's trapped. It's called yish bimino nitzo, that species of animal is an animal that's normally trapped. There are some animals that are not normally trapped. People don't normally try to trap them. It's called ein bimino nitzo. So there's machokas rishonim. How do we paskin if you trap an animal that's of a species that's not normally trapped? So some Rishonim say, so the Rambam says you're chayiv nonetheless, because malacha she'ina tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. And that would be a case of malacha she'ina tzricha l'gufa. Other Rishonim say, no, based on how the Gemara says it out, it would be pater. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold that it's pater against the Rambam. So another approach that's given, the essentially what the Mishnah Berurah says, is that the Shulchan Aruch is not passing like the Ri, is passing like the Rivash. You're right, the Shulchan Aruch does hold that Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater. But the reason that cutting your nails is Chayav is because the Rivash's opinion, who says cutting your nails is Chayav because in the Mishkan they wanted not what they were taking off, but what they were leaving behind. Right? They were leaving the ore behind, they're leaving the skins behind. So therefore, even though normally you could hold the Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater, this is not a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, so cutting your nails is Chayav. Okay, now what?
You can't say he holds like the Ramban?
You could, also. But no one says that. But yeah, for sure. Just like the Mishnah, right. Just like the Mishnah Berurah in the Bar Halacha says he holds like the Rivash, you could just say he holds like the Ramban.
Okay. This would only be if you're cutting nails to beautify, right? Not if you're, like, if you have a nail that's, like, bothering
you. Or the following case. So, yeah, I don't know, nail bothering you, maybe, I don't know. But the following case, I think, is potentially, A, something's not, but potentially this is another nafkamina. People say this is a nafkamina, but it may not be. So there's a din by an interesting case. When a woman goes to the mikveh on Friday night, so the din is, right, that all chatzitzos that a woman has, she has to remove before she goes into the mikveh. Now there's a whole discussion of what exactly is considered a chatzitza, right? Makbid, ain't a makbid. So there's a shita of the Ra'avan. Ra'avan was also one of the early Rishonim. So the Ra'avan, there's this opinion that he has, that he says that if a woman has longer nails that she intended to cut next week, right after Shabbos, but they're normally at a length that she normally would not keep them at. So he says they're chatzitza right now. What he calls, like, if it's makbid la'achar zman, is a chatzitza now. That if you're going to be machbid about it, so therefore we should retroactively say, or we should be forward-looking and then look back and say it's a chatzitza right now. So everyone has a shita. So we try to be machbid for this, and that's why women cut their nails, like, regardless. But the question is, let's say a woman forgot to cut her nails before she goes to the mikveh, so what do you do on Shabbos? Can she just go to the mikveh regardless? Or maybe we should have a guy cut her nails. So it's machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. The Taz says she should just go into the mikvah even though her nails aren't cut. Again, this is assuming there's no dirt or anything else. It's clean. No other chatzitzas. Because we shouldn't be makbid. We're not really makbid for the Ravan. We can reject the Ravan. We're just not, you know, care that much that we would prevent her from going to the mikvah. But the Shach says, no, she should ask a Nachri. She should ask a non-Jew to cut her nails because we are choshish for the Ravan, but you can ask a Nachri. And he says, because, you know, cutting your nails is only asur midrabanan on Shabbos anyway, according to Tosfos, right? It's really melacha shenitzchik alugufa, and therefore, if you have something that's normally already only asur midrabanan, and it's b'mako mitzvah, going to the mikvah, so then you can ask a nachri, because that's a din by Amir al-Nachri, right? Amir al-Nachri only works on Shabbos if what you are asking the nachri to do is itself a derabanan, right? You can't ask a nachri to do a deraisa for you. You can't ask a nachri to, I don't know, drive a car, probably like the most deraisa thing, right? So you can't ask a nachri to drive a car for you. Right, it has to be welcome mitzvah. Right, so how do you go to the hospital? Sakana Sambasha is different. Right, person's in labor goes to the hospital, that's the kind of budget, so then it's already different. That's why you don't drive yourself, because at least it's only one derabanan, but generally we would like to have two derabanans and then a mitzvah. So if you have, you know, double derabanan and a mitzvah, then it's a mutter. So the Shach assumes that cutting your nails is only asr midrabanan, because you hold like Tosfos, that it's a malacha she'en esri chalugufa, and if you ask an achri to do it, it's fine. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, you know, the kashi is, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that cutting your nails is chayiv, right? So that's the kashi on the Shach, right? So the Shach assumes that it's asur midrabanan, but not everybody holds that it's asur midrabanan, right? The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you cut your nails on Shabbos or chayiv. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would not be able to ask an achri to do it. So how does that come out? So you could answer like this, right? That, and this is how the Be'er Halacha, this is how the Mishnah Berurah answers. So when the Shulchan Aruch says that cutting your nails is asur midoraisa, it's because what do you want? What's your goal? Your goal is you want to beautify yourself. And that lines, according to at least the Be'er Halacha's approach, that lines up to Mishkan, because Mishkan is you wanted to keep what you were cutting off, or keep what stays behind. You want to keep the skins that they used for the Mishkan. So you take off the hair, you beautify the skins, and you keep them. So you lined up to what they did in the Mishkan, so your Chai Mishim Gozis. But the Be'er Halacha says, by mikvah, so it's not really, the reason you're doing cutting your nails is not because you're beautifying. It's just because there's this din of chatzitza there. So it's like an in-between case. You're not beautifying, and you don't want what you take off, you're just doing it because there's a shita of the Ravan that holds that it's a chatzitza. So in that case, it's like a part of intention. In that case, maybe the Be'er Halacha suggests, maybe the Shulchan Aruch also would agree that it's only midrabanan. Because you're not lined up to what they did in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was all about beautifying, and here you're not beautifying. So Eitan said, But you are beautifying. How? Because if the whole premise of the Ra'avan is that in the future you're going to be mocked about these nails because they don't look nice in the future, so maybe there is an element of beautifying even now. Maybe. I don't know. You feel like you could ask me on the Shulchan Aruch.
I don't understand what the tzitza is for nails. Because the nail that's to your finger is obviously that would make sense if that's there for everybody. But it's just that it's a little longer. Like what's it blocking?
So the theory of the Ra'avan is, and this is really like a question in Hilchos Chatitza, but the theory in the Ra'avan is, if there's something that we determine is a chatitza, and he says something which you're, what a chatitza is something that you're makbid that you don't want on you. That's what a chatitza is. If you're makbid that you don't want it on you. So usually like dirt. I don't know. Like you don't want dirt on you. Right? So we view that as separate from you, and now it's on you, so it's separating you from the water. That's how chatitza works. So he says, nails, it's a chatitza because you don't want, you're not going to want it. So the theory is you're not going to want it, we view it as you don't want it right now. So now it's on you, attached to you, but it's not something that you want on you. So therefore it's separating you from the water. That's how it works.
I suggest if you want to get a haircut.
Yeah,
it's like, you know,
it's also. I'd say nowadays head. It's just opposite of women anyway. I prefer their nails.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a subjective. According to the Ravan, it certainly is subjective.
I know, I'm saying.
All chatitza is subjective,
they
but.
They do cut their nails. I'm saying is women prefer
longer nails.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, I think it would be if you get to a point where they're longer than you normally would prefer, but that's a person-by-person judgment. So, yes. Okay, so I think that this nafkamina of cutting your nails really solidifies the differences between Tosfos and the Ramban and the Baal Mor in terms of the definition of Machash and Etzir Chalufa. And as you see, even in the post-game, it comes out that it's not clear based on what the definition of Machash and Etzir Chalufa should be. Should it be Mishkan? Should it be Hanah from the Malacha? Should it be... Again, nobody cited the Baal Mor, but maybe, you know, do you want the chifetz of the malacha can impact whether it's a malacha shenein tzirich lugufa, therefore whether it's a deraisa versus a derabanan, and whether there could be a heter in certain cases. So what's going on? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, so we're going to do Rashi. Let's try to do Rashi. Okay, as quickly as I can. That's okay. The trouble that everyone talks about is Rashi. So look at Rashi on Sav Yikim Lomi Biz. And Rashi is hard also because Rashi is everywhere, right? On every sugya that there's a malachah and a zikalu, for every case there's a Rashi. So to really try to string together all the Rashis is hard, and you know, in the interest of time, we're not going to look at the Rashi on every single case, although we probably should. But look at this Rashi because this is the one that stands out the most. So if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, so Rabbi Shimon Poter, so this is Rashi inside. So again, this is on the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if you're Moti Mace, the Tanakhama says you're Chayov, and Rabbi Shimon says you're Pater, and the reason for Rabbi Shimon is, Machash and Etzir Chalufa, you're Pater on the Hotza. For whatever reason, based on who you are. So Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Afilu B'Mace Shalem. Right? So the Rashi says that Rabbi Shimon is Poter even on a Mace Shalem. Right? Because remember, the Mishnah had a bunch of different cases. If you're Moti an entire Mace, or a Kazayas Min HaMace, or a Kazayas Min HaNevela. So Rashi is just clarifying for you, when Rabbi Shimon says Pater, he says Pater on all the cases, even on a Meis Shalim and an entire Meis. Why? It's the Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, V'chol Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, Ela L'Salka Me'alav, Heve Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa. Because any Malacha, okay, maybe you take out the L'Gufa in the parentheses, any Malacha that you don't need it, Lagufa for it, rather you're just doing it to remove it from you. So there's a couple of key words here. El Lasalka Me'alav. You're doing it to remove it from you. That's a Malachash and Etzricha Lagufa because Dibirtsono Laba'alo, right? If you had it your way, So Dibirtsono Laba'alo, right? You wouldn't have been in this situation in the first place. Vilo Hayat Sarichla. And you don't need this on you. So those key lines there is that all the Rishonim jump on, and Rashi says, it seems like what's making this a Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, according to Rashi, is that, right, if you had it your way, this would never have happened to you, you don't want this, and therefore it's a Malacha Shein Etzricha L'Gufa. So there's two questions. So first, let's look at Tosfos now. So Tosfos and Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph on the bottom of that Tosfos. So it starts with Rashi de Pirish. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 lines up from the end of Tosfos. So Tosfos says Rashi. It's Rashi de Pirish de Britzono Lahaisa Ba'alo. This is not Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, right? So Rashi explains that the definition of Malacha Shenin Tzricha L'Gufa, the explanation is de Britzono Lahaisa Ba'alo. If he had it his way, this wouldn't have happened to him. Lo hayat sarichla, and you don't want this. She'ina el lesalka me'alav. You're only doing this to remove it from you. You're doing this to remove the mates from you. Kimotzad nachash lo yishchanu. Right, like the case, another case of lachash nitzich legufa. It's like the case of tzad nachash lo yishchanu. Right, trapping a snake so it doesn't bite you. Also there too, right? You don't want this. You don't. If you had it your way, the snake wouldn't be there. Or if you're extinguishing a coal so that it won't injure the masses, the public. So there too also it's mutter. Right, if you had it your way, this coal wouldn't be there, this snake wouldn't be there. So first also just, you know, it says, oh, right, this is like those cases. It's also in the case in the perek b'malikin, pirish. Rashi explains. We're just not going to see this Rashi inside, but I would encourage you to look at this Rashi. So Rashi on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says too, Ala psila hamehuv heves kvar de'ina tzricha legufa. Right, that if you have a case of a wick that was already lit. Right, so remember, we said that it's a malacha if this wick was never lit before, and now you're extinguished it, so now it's considered so now it will be a wick that was lit. But let's say this, I don't know, you had a wick, and it was already lit and extinguished on Tuesday, and now it was relit on Friday, and now you're extinguishing it again. You don't really need to, you're not accomplishing anything by extinguishing it, because it was already lit on Tuesday once, and was extinguished. Right, you don't need this kibui. Right, it seems like when you're extinguishing it, right, if it never had been lit in the first place, that would have been great for you, for a person in that situation. Because it seems like you're just putting this fire out because you really just don't want this fire lit at all. So I'm not exactly sure what this line is getting at. And I would encourage you to look at the Rashi Laman Afan Biz. Seems like, right, you're being chas on this wick, right? You don't want the wick and whatever fuel is under the wick, right? You don't want it to continue to burn, right? If there's more, I guess, fuel there, that's better for him. So really, you're extinguishing this because you didn't want this to be lit in the first place. You're just trying to prevent this situation from happening. It already happened. Somebody lit the fire, maybe you lit the fire, but you're extinguishing it. But again, if you had it your way, you would never be in this situation. You'd rather have more wick and more fuel. I assume that that's what he means. So that's how Rashi explains, again, Hotza'ah, you'd rather not be in the situation of the mis. And he also has that similar type of formulation by extinguishing a wick, you'd rather not be in that situation. Tosfos has Kasha. So there's several cases of Malacha, She'ena Tzricha Legufa, that don't seem to jive with that definition, according to Rashi. Number one, Soser Almanas Livnos Kemo B'tchila. So if you destroy a building with the intention of rebuilding it like it was before. So it says that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So why is that a malacha shein tzricha legufa? That's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa even though you can't make the argument, oh, I wish I never would have been in this situation. What do you mean? You it was built, right? So you could just not destroy it because you're rebuilding it like it was before. So if you want to get to the end goal, you can just do nothing and it'll be built like it was before. So you can't make the argument in that case, oh, I wish, I'm only doing this because I wish I never was in this situation. That doesn't apply in that case. And yet the Gemara still considers that a malacha shein tzricha legufa. V'koreya in another case like that. V'koreya b'chamaso, if a person rips out of anger, I don't recommend doing this. Lemir me aimsa ainche debesa, in order to instill fear on the people of his house. Right? So there also is a case of malacha she'enet tzricha legufa. Adhasam, tzarech lemalacha, V'rotze hu sheyeh ba'olam. There, right, you want what you're doing, right? You are constructive in the sense that you want to do the ripping, and because you want to instill the fear on your family, yet the Gemara considers that a malacha shenetzich legufa. According to Rashi, that should not be a malacha shenetzich legufa, because his theory of, oh, I wish I was never in this situation, if I had it my way, I wouldn't do this, that doesn't apply there, because there you want what you're doing, and yet the Gemara considers that a malacha shenetzich legufa. So those two cases seem to go in conflict to Rashi's definition of malacha shenetzich legufa being only in situations where you can make the argument, I wish I never was in this situation in the first place, and I'd rather not be doing this. And Tosfos even says, "In lomar d'lo nechalei sheitzarech lemir me'emsa." Don't make the argument that, oh, the person really doesn't want to have to instill fear on his family, and he'd rather not. Because imkein mapis mursa lasos lapeh yehi pater. Because if you made that argument, then mapis mursa, right, our famous case of popping a blister in order to create a... So the din is, right, if you're doing it to drain the pus, it's mutter. But if you're doing it to just make an opening, so then the din is that it's aser mishum bona. So according to Rashi's theory, though, that should be pater. You'd rather not have had a blister. But we don't make that argument, and we say that it's aser. Right? If you rip a curtain that had a hole in it so that you sew it, right? The Rambam talked about sewing it, but Tosfos says, what about ripping it? Right there too. There too, right, if you had it your way, you wouldn't have a hole. But yet ripping it, right, so that's usher. We don't make Rashi's argument in that case. In the last case, also if you're sewing a beged that was ripped, again, you can make the argument, I wish my beged never got ripped before. But we don't make that argument. So therefore, Tosfos says, you have to say, like I say, that it's based on Mishkan. So we have trouble because Rashi, you know, in the case of Otsa, in the case of Kibui, has this formulation of, you know, Birtsono Layabalo. If you had it your way, you wouldn't be doing it, and that's why it's in Malacha Shenetzich Legufa. So how does this reckon with all these other cases? In fact, if you look in the Rashi in Chagiga, when he defines the case of Chofer Guma, so he doesn't have that explanation in terms of telling you why Chofer Guma is in Malacha Shenetzich Legufa. Their explanation is something to the effect of, you don't want the boat, you don't want the hole that you're building. So even Rashi is not necessarily consistent in all these cases by using this formulation of Birtsono Lo Ba'alo. So why does Rashi use it in the case of Otsa and the case of Kibui? So the Rav is Mahalech on this is that Rashi only says that approach by what he calls a Malechas Siluk. By a Malecha where the nature of a Malecha itself is just like removing. Like you're not really... I don't want to say it's you're being destructive, because that's not it. But it's like you're not really constructing something. You're not being destructive. It's not kilkul, but you're not being like really constructive in any way. So Hotza happens to be a really good example of that, because there's a Tosfos, a famous Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta, that says that Hotza is what he calls a malacha gerua. It's like a worse, a lower level malacha, even though it's a malacha, because there's no, you know, constructive element to it. You're just carrying, you walk like outside. You're not constructing anything in the way you're planting, cutting, like you're doing those things, you're doing something much, much more constructive. Carrying, you're not doing much. So, in the Rav's formulation, that's a malacha siluk. Kibu is another good example of that. Again, unless maybe you're doing it to create coals, or in that one case where you're trying to have your wick lit, kibu also is a malacha siluk. You're just getting the fire out. You're not really doing anything. You're not constructing anything in the process. So, the Rav says, therefore, in those cases, the Rashi's formulation is, okay, so okay, if you don't want to be doing, if the nature of malacha itself is already some sort of siluk, a non-constructive malacha, then the only way to explain it being a malacha shenetzich legufa in Rashi's eyes is to say something like, it's the circumstances which makes it a malacha shenetzich legufa. The fact that you don't want to really be in this place. So by hotza, by carrying, right, it's the circumstances that you don't really want the mace to have buried the mace in the first place. You just kind of were thrown into this position. So by malacha siluk, you can make that argument and say it's malacha shenetzich legufa. So by kibu, you can make that argument. That argument won't work by any other malacha. By any other malacha, that's constructive. But by those two, that argument will work. Maybe that argument will work by tzad. Maybe when we get to tzad also is not really so constructive. You're not really doing any, like trapping, I don't know, like you're closing the gate. That's you know, look at Mishnah by tzad. So that's, sometimes you're chayv by tzad if you just, like, close the door and the animal's inside. So it's tzad. you didn't do anything. You're not doing it constructive. So there's a discussion about Sod also being one of these melachos that is like, you know, different from the rest in that aspect. And again, Tosfos said, you know, maybe it makes sense to make Rashi's argument by Tzad as well. So by those melachos, by melachos siluk, you can make the argument that if you didn't want to be in this position in the first place, that can be a melachos shenetzich legufa. But by other cases,
you need that, right? Because
You can make it, and therefore you need it, right? That's the only way it'll be a melachos shenetzich legufa.
Because there's a low level, you got to lower it even more.
Right, exactly. So that's Rashi. Okay, so we have like 5 minutes. I just wanted to finish off this sugya, so let's just do the Rambam. Let's do the Rambam. What?
It's nine.
It's nine. Okay. So then maybe we'll stop. We'll pick up with the Rambam next week. Okay, so just bring the Rambam, bring Rambams next week. And hopefully we won't spend the entire shiur on that. We'll just do the first part of the Rambam. I'll send this like a text out which Rambams, it's like three Rambams to look at. They're on this, essentially the same perek. And then we're going to start, hopefully, the next sugya, which is already actually in the Gemara in the seventh perek. And I'll send out where that is. It's introductory, but it's just like starting one of the perek. So we'll talk about it, because it's Chiluk Melachos is the next sugya. Okay.
Is this Sunday night? You said the 90%.